Investigators probe a near miss over San Francisco. Bombardier tests the composite wing for its C-Series. And the U.S. Air Force takes the next step in demonstrating biofuels. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, April 1st, 2010. The NTSB has launched an investigation to determine why a commercial jetliner and a small airplane came within what the pilots estimated as 300 feet of colliding over San Francisco on Saturday. At about 11:15 a.m. Pacific time, the crew of United Flight 889, a 777 headed for Beijing with 251 passengers and a crew of 17, was cleared to take off from San Francisco International Airport on 28 left and climb to an initial altitude of 3,000 feet. The first officer was flying the aircraft. He reported that after the landing gear was retracted and the jet was at about 1,100 feet, the tower controller reported traffic at his 1 o'clock. Immediately following the controller's advisory, TCAS sounded an audible traffic alert. The pilots saw a light high-wing airplane, a Cessna 182, in a hard left turn, traveling from their 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock position. The FO pushed the control column forward to level his airplane. Both crew members reported seeing only the underside of the bug smasher as it passed within an estimated 200 to 300 feet of the heavy. The FAA has since estimated the closest pass at 300 feet vertically, but 1,500 feet horizontally. NTSB investigator Scott Dunham is conducting the investigation. Bombardier reports testing of its C-Series aircraft's composite demonstrator wing is underway at its Belfast facility, which is responsible for the design, development, and manufacture of the wings for the C-Series aircraft. The Belfast plant has assembled a full-scale, three-quarter span pre-production demonstrator wing using its unique resin transfer infusion process. A specially designed test rig represents the outer wing to center wing box and center fuselage attachments, including a simulated landing gear leg and simulated engine and pylon. Controlled loading will be applied to replicate the maximum loads the wing will see in service. The U.S. Air Force says that a week ago today, an A-10 Thunderbolt II flew solely on a blend of biomass-derived fuel and conventional JP-8, calling it the first flight of its kind. Similar previous tests have used multi-engine aircraft burning traditional petroleum-based jet fuel exclusively in some engines to dodge 100% reliance on the biofuel mix. The testing is part of a larger effort to get the U.S. military supplied with 50% domestically sourced fuels in the next few years. The Air Force says it is the Defense Department's largest consumer of jet fuel, but burns only the equivalent of a mid-sized airline. Up next on ANN, Eurocopter Chile reports strong sales at last week's show in Santiago. The province of Ontario gets three new EC-130s. And HSI's service division earns an FAA award. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 1st. I'm Paul Plack. Eurocopter Chile and Conosur, a subsidiary of the Eurocopter Group, say they did well at last week's FADAI Air and Space Show, which was held Tuesday through Sunday, the 23rd through the 28th in Santiago. The partners report the sale of 7 helicopters to parapublic and private operators from Argentina and Chile through the show. In addition, Eurocopter Chile SA's training center was officially certified by the Aviation Authority of Chile. This entity is the only Eurocopter-approved training center in the southern cone of Latin America. Eurocopter says it has 1,135 of its helicopters flying in Latin America for civil, parapublic, and military operations, and currently employs more than 500 people in the region. Eurocopter Canada has announced that the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources will acquire three more EC-130B4 single-engine helicopters for forest fire management work and utility missions across Canada's second-largest province. The new machines will bring the size of the ministry's EC-130B4 fleet to 7. Helicopters in this operation really earn their keep. They're used to drop off firefighters and their equipment at the scene of a fire, then participate in the fight using bucket drops. When they're not helping fight fires, the EC-130B4s are used for wildlife surveys, fish stocking, reconnaissance, compliance monitoring, enforcement missions, remote sensing, and other duties. The Services Division of Sikorsky's Helicopter Support Incorporated announced this week it has won the FAA Diamond Certificate of Excellence Award for the fourth year in a row. The award is given to employers with 100% employee participation in an FAA-approved aviation maintenance training program. With a Diamond Award, the FAA recognizes employers and aviation maintenance technicians who participate in a training program that offers both initial and recurrent aviation maintenance training and courses to improve safety and technical knowledge. Still ahead, Salina, Kansas is looking to bring some of its memories home. Pilatus partners with PZL in Poland. And if you attend AirVenture this year, you could wind up as EAA's new president. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, April 1st. I'm Paul Plack. If you ever served at Smoky Hill Army Airfield or Schilling Air Force Base in Kansas between World War II and 1965, or if your father or grandfather did, the organizers of the new Wings Over Salina Air Museum are asking you to take a look through your memorabilia. The Salina Airport Authority, with the help of the Greater Salina Community Foundation, has established two funds to raise the money needed to build and maintain the museum, which will preserve the rich aviation heritage of the area. They say the hardest part of the job will be finding historic artifacts that were scattered to the four corners of the U.S. with departing military personnel who left when the base closed in 1965. Besides its rich military history, Salina is famous as the boyhood home of astronaut Stephen Hawley and was the start and end point for Steve Fawcett's historic 2005 solo nonstop flight around the world. If you do find something significant in a dusty old trunk, don't think you have to wait till they finish the building to send it home. Room will be made to start the museum's collection in the MJ Kennedy Air Terminal building while the fundraising continues. Pilatus Aircraft and PZL Swidnik SA of Poland are teaming up for the assembly of PC-12 fuselage and wing cells. The companies made a joint announcement on Tuesday. Pilatus says it's confident that PZL Swidnik will prove to be a partner capable of meeting the highest standards of quality, and one with the requisite experience and certifications in the aviation industry. PZL Swidnik is based in the Lublin region to the southeast of Warsaw and was recently acquired by Augusta Westland. The contract covers 10 years and calls for delivery of the first complete PC-12 structures during the second half of 2011. Pilatus Aircraft will continue to produce detailed parts and stands and send them to PZL for assembly. Pilatus noted that its existing partnership with OGMA in Portugal remains, and that the PZL Swidnik deal is intended to enable safeguarding and further expanding PC-12 production rates in the future. And finally, there's honestly way more aviation and aerospace news than we can possibly fit into this podcast today. So if you want details on the new nationwide TFR imposed by President Obama, the NTSB's call for seat shockers to alert airline pilots before they reach their destinations, the debut of the LSA Racing League, or analysis of the impact of Boeing's breakthrough in teleportation, we're going to have to refer you to the website to read more about it. Same deal if you want the inside scoop on a scuffle that broke out between the heads of EAA and NBAA. What will be in the inaugural issue of Sport Litigation magazine? What Northrop Grumman's new unmanned business transport looks like? Or how Tom Poberesny's successor as president of EAA will be chosen on the spot in Aeroshell Square at Oshkosh this summer? And in case it hasn't dawned on you yet what I'm talking about, look at your calendar. Then go enjoy our annual April Fool's Day edition of the website. But caution, you'll need more than a grain of salt. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, here's some of the biggest names in the airshow business talk about the future of the business from ICAST 2010. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.